FYI. FYI, we don't technically have a quorum anyway, so we'll just be mainly doing your reporting, ironically. What happens if the chair, vice chair, or the secretary are not present?
I would say the senior member present gets to convene the meeting.
That's you. You got me on that one. I knew the answer, but I just wanted it for the record.
Good evening. It's on, isn't it? Good evening. We'll call the...
Sorry about that. Did we hang up on you on accident?
Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead.
Okay, well...
Hold on.
The election advisory panel meeting is called to order. We'll ask everyone, those attendees here, to say their name and their membership.
Austin Quickle, election advisory panel.
Ingrid Montgomery, election advisory panel.
Daniel Henry, election advisory panel.
Jeff Clement, staff.
Awesome. All right.
We'll start with the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting for November 16th.
We don't have a quorum.
So I'm going to, at this time, release it over to Daniel. Daniel, would you please facilitate?
I second that motion.
All right. So, Robert, the floor is yours for the 2023 city elections preparations update.
Okay. Well, there's not a lot to add to my last 2022 report. We are obviously in the training, getting ready for the next election. The biggest add was the court changing of the city council district, that we had to affect that over the holiday. So basically, we kept the same precinct boundaries intact, and changed the precinct number. So there was out of 186 precincts, about 180, well, I'll put it this way, 655,000 voters, about 187,000 were affected. So that's pretty close to a fourth. And so those cards are being mailed out as we speak. They're going out this week, next week, in batches, as the vendor gets ready. Sample ballots are also being prepared. Sample ballot, as always, has the polling location information as well as the ballot information. The election itself is probably one of the shortest that we've had, because the only county-wide races that are going to be on every ballot is the mayor's office, the property appraiser's office, and three city council at-large. As you know, sheriff's office was unopposed, tax collector was unopposed, and supervisor collector was unopposed. For the vote by mail situation, he mailed out a little over 100,000 vote by mail reminders for voters who normally receive a vote by mail card that it had it expired. Currently, we're at about 40,000 vote by mail requests. The first 35,000 of them dropped last week for domestic. Those should be reaching voters at any day. Our current total is up to about 40,000, like I said. And going back and looking at the last apples to apples election comparison that we have within the 2015 election, we had about 43,000 total vote by mail. So I'm pretty confident we're going to get close to that. That's basically about it. LNA, logic and accuracy test, is next Friday. What's unique about this election, this is going to be the first election that we will have all judges on the canvassing board. Because Mr. Hogan has to not be on the canvassing board this time because every city council person has either opposition or is actively campaigning for someone else that's on the ballot. So our only option is to have the North County Court Judge, Judge Khalil, and the Chief Judge is going to appoint two others as well.
Hey, Robert, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. Can you repeat the part regarding the substitutions for the canvassing board?
Yeah, there's no city council person that's eligible to serve because all of them have either endorsed or are campaigning for someone or they have opposition. And Mr. Hogan's son is on the ballot. So he is not on the canvassing board either. So the chief judge is going to have to appoint other judges and alternate.
Is that prescribed by statute, like when that happens?
Yes. Yeah, that's in accordance with the statute.
So we'll have, a three-judge panel for the canvassing board this cycle?
Yes.
Is that a first?
Yes, that's a first.
He can't hear a word you're saying.
Asking if the judges have already been identified. How
will are the judges already identified?
I believe Judge Khalil is the chair, Judge Hudson and Judge Bate, who were both on the canvassing board in November. And then the chief judge will have to name a couple more alternates.
Okay. So you got some new judges, actually.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know about Hudson, but I know Khalil and... Oh, sorry. Say the judges one more time.
Yeah,
for the record,
Judge Khalil is the chair. Judge Hudson and Judge Bate were alternates for the November canvassing board, so I believe they're going to be reappointed, and we'll need two more to be appointed by the chief judge.
Okay, am I right on that one? That Khalil and Bate are new, at least on the bench, within the last 4 years.
Khalil and
yes,
Bate's been there for a while.
Judge Arias retired.
Okay. Wasn't Bate on the... I swear I thought he was on the 2018 ballot, if I remember correctly, but I could be completely...
Yeah, he was.
Okay. I knew I remembered the same. Okay. Who will be responsible for kind of bringing them up to speed in terms of procedure of the canvassing board, since the most experienced members of the canvassing board won't be able to participate?
I am constant as the Northern Star.
We wish you luck, sir.
Thank you.
is there any updates that you wanted to provide in terms of how VBM registrations are going since you guys sent out the mailer in early January, and people have been taking advantage of the tear off they could send back in the mail, and then the phone calls and the electronic signups they could do?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty pleased with it because, like I said, we've got over 40,000 requests now. I think when you consider this is a election that we're probably only going to have about 30 to 35% turnout. Unfortunately, we're getting more of a number of voters who are actually planning on voting by mail instead of those that just normally receive it and it just ends up showing up in their mailbox. Like I said, I went back and looked at the I went back and looked at the 2015 numbers, and we had 43,000 vote by mails returned. We still have several weeks left and requests are coming in pretty well every day. So I think we'll get over 50,000 requests, and if we get 40,000 back from that, that would be a very good percentage.
Has the staff been able to handle the volume of paper requests that have been coming in the mail so far?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. And have you guys encountered any issues where someone sent in a mail request, but there wasn't social or driver's license on file that would have allowed for you to make the registration active?
Not that I'm aware of. I had some reports of some people who tried to use the online service that were using their driver's license when we didn't have their social, and then once they flipped over and used their social, it was fine. But I haven't had any reports of anybody who has not been able to request one or to have one processed because of their information.
How much did the mailing overall cost?
If you give me a second, I can look that up for you. For the record, I do not like the city one.
I think many city employees would agree with you on that one.
I've never liked it.
For the record, he said he's in like the one cloud system. Also, for the record, Robert Maldonado is on his way. If we have four of four members, is that a quorum?
Four of nine.
Is it nine? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. We have eight.
Half.
Mm-hmm. You need five.
I tried.
Yeah.
Close, but I see. That's one thing, at least. While I'm doing this, I have access to my computer so I can look things up. Looks like about 30,000 dollars.
And was that...
Or $41,000.
$41,000, okay. And
yeah.
Do you know, since what bucket you pulled that out of in terms of the SOE budget?
Printing and binding.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, if the SOE was open to doing another mailing after the March election... Would you have the budget to do that?
You mean between the March and the May elections?
Correct.
I don't think I would have the budget to do that because I was not budgeted 187,000 cards that we have to send out because of the new court.
Got it. So if you wanted to do a second mailing, that would have to be something that Mr. Hogan and Mr. Holland would have to allocate in the next fiscal year budget.
If you're talking about one preparing for the 2024 election, yes. Yeah, that would be a decision probably made by the incoming supervisor, but he will have some input in the upcoming, because this budget process is a little awkward because it's going to begin under Mr. Hogan, but it's going to end under Mr. Holland. So he's going to inherit, you know, whatever budget we start with. I'm sure he's going to have some input. So to do that, yes, that would be his.
You all right?
Oh, yeah. Did you hear me? Were you able to hear me?
Yeah, we heard, I think we heard like a gasp, but we just want to make sure you're all good.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm good.
For the precinct changes, I know a lot of it was just really renumbered changes, but I know that there's signs usually at all of the early voting sites, early voting, all of the precincts that have a marker that's in blue. Mm-hmm. That, are those going to have to change as well?
Yeah, those are going to have to change, and traffic engineering and the administration has been very good working with us to get all of those done by tomorrow.
Okay, and is that done at the city's expense or the SOE's expense?
That's the city's expense.
Okay. That's all the questions I had. Did anyone else have questions? How's the transition going between Mr. Holland and Mr. Hogan?
Well, being that Mr. Holland has been here before, he kind of knows what to expect. He's already reached out to several staff members for input, and I'm sure he's had more conversations with Mr. Hogan that I haven't been privy to, but everything seems to be going well.
Okay. If we wanted to, I think the next meeting we have is April the 19th, and then after that it's... Is that, Jeff, after the April 19th meeting?
June, I think.
Yeah, let's...
Promise I'm going somewhere with this, Robert.
No, I understand.
August 16th.
Okay. So I know... The last opportunity for Mr. Hogan to speak to EAP would theoretically be the April 19th meeting. Do you know if he intends to use that meeting to do his SOE update, or do you think he'll leave that to Mr. Holland in August?
Honestly, we have not discussed that, but I will definitely find out, and I will email Jeff and let him.
Okay. Then my last question. Is there any legacy projects that Mr. Hogan is working on that he plans on trying to get completed before the end of his term?
The only one that would have been moving everyone to one location off of Imeson, but that's off the table. So, no.
So the office as it is today is what we can expect it will be on July the 1st before Mr. Holland takes over.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Daniel. And my apologies to everyone. I had a scheduling error. I'm assuming we are on supervisor elections update. We've received... 2023 city election preparations and redistricting lawsuit impact updates, correct? If there's no other questions for Mr. Phillips, we will move on to old business. Robert, on the agenda, there is an item for, my apologies, I'm a little lost here, about the redistricting lawsuit. So I was wondering if you could fill us in a little bit on that and how that impacted your work and what preparations have been taken to, make sure everything's good to go for the upcoming elections.
Yeah, it pretty much ruined my Christmas holiday because Aries and I had just had a knee surgery on December 12th. So I was working from home. So Aries Torres in our office did a great job working on it here at the office, and I was guiding him. And we finished the process and submitted it to council for legislation, which was approved. And it affected about 187,000 voters who are getting new voter information cards as we speak. So everywhere possible, we maintain the previous boundary and just change the number.
And aside from the updated voter registration information, are there any, what other actions or steps are being taken to ensure folks know where their polling places are, what districts they're in, what candidates they're voting on, et cetera?
The every voter is still going to receive a sample ballot, like they always do prior to every election. That sample ballot will have the ballot that they will be able to vote on. That'll have the candidates that are, you know, in their precinct, and it will also have their precinct information, updated precinct information on that.
Great, thank you. Any questions?
Robert, do you know where the case is right now with the district court?
I do not. That would be a question for OGC.
And to that point, Robert, are there contingencies in place in the event that there is a successful appeal, or obviously, you know, we're, you know, kind of into the elections now, so likely wouldn't be for this election, but, you know, perhaps in the future.
Yeah, I can't see, I'm not a lawyer or a legal scholar in any shape, form, or fashion, but I can't see anything that's going to change or affect the March and the May elections. They may well change some, as you know, there's still court cases going on for the congressional districts. So something may occur over the summer or before next year that would affect that. But the next scheduled congressional election wouldn't be until August of 2024. So we'd have plenty of time to implement that.
Great. And just a question I just thought of is, could you kind of convey to us what goes into all this back and forth in your office specifically? You know, when there are changes, there's appeals, you know, what are you having to do as an elections professional to get things changed, just so we have it on record, the scope of kind of what you're having to go through to make these changes?
Yeah, we at some point, we're just kind of like playing the waiting game. We give them, you know, the dates that we need the information by, and we hope they comply. Once we receive that information, we have a GIS software that we'll put the new shape file in, and it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. You look at the existing lines, and you put in an overlay of where the new lines have to be, so you make the adjustments there, and then you move on to the precinct level, and you see what's changed and where you have to adjust and move those precinct boundaries. There's some changes that you can't get around, like up in the area that was District 2 and 7 that is now District 2 and 8. They took a large number of voters from District 2 and put it in District 8. So we had to move several people into a polling place there at Oceanway Community Center. So now there's over 11,000 people in that one polling location, but we're not too concerned about it because it's also an early voting site, so it has the space to handle it, plus a lot of those voters vote early anyway because that's the area they're familiar with, but things like that, you know, and then we have to make sure that the poll workers get attached to the proper polling location. We have to make sure voters are notified. We have to make sure that as Daniel brought up, the streets and highways changes all the signs that are affected. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's a lot more than just, you know, pushing a button and making the changes.
And financially, do you have any sort of idea about, you know, numbers or how much that costs? Obviously, there's sweat equity involved, but...
Well, aside from just, aside from that, the cost of mailing out new cards to each one of these voters is going to be substantial. I don't have an exact cost for that for you yet, but I can have that for the next meeting.
That would be great, thank you. And we're working on a few technical things over here. The mics stopped working, so if you just bear with us for a minute.
Question, Robert, because I know this was kind of like in the public ether at the time. When the city makes the determination that it wanted to appeal in the redistricting cases, we always kind of like saw the official decisions by city council. But since the supervisor is also a named plaintiff, does the supervisor also have to consent to the appeal as well?
Yeah.
And whenever those decisions are made, does OGC kind of facilitate that request and notifies city council, or is it the other way around, or is it simultaneously?
No, OGC helps with that.
Okay. So for the record, because I know this was kind of out there, when the city made its decisions to appeal, that was also a decision that Supervisor Hogan made as well.
Pretty much, yeah. He's not going to go against the wishes of the city council, but at the same time, yeah, he agreed to it.
Okay, cool.
Any questions for Mr. Phillips on this topic? Thank you, Robert, as always. Hopefully we'll see you in person next go round.
I apologize. This is the second time I've been tied up and missed the meeting, so I'll try to get better about that.
Well, I was 30 minutes late, if it makes you feel any better. So, moving on in the agenda to old business, the only item I see is election of officers for this coming year. I think, unfortunately, we don't have a voting quorum, so we're going to have to pass that off until our next meeting. I know we've had some interest from Austin and Mr. Pringle as well about serving, so hopefully we can get enough in-person folks here in April and have some votes and maybe transition to some new leadership for the panel. And to that point, Jeff, I do have letters drafted regarding the vacancies. Do you want me to send those directly or to get them to you and you can distribute them? Or I wasn't quite sure how that worked.
You can send them directly. You can send them directly if you'll send me copies. Okay. So I can put them in the file.
Okay. And for the panel and the public's knowledge, I've just drafted letters to the mayor and the council president, informing them of the vacancies we have and that some members are serving on expired terms and that it is started to become an issue with the panel as far as just getting business done. So hopefully that will put them on notice and we'll be able to get a full panel on appropriate terms. So I will get those to Jeff this evening, and I'm not sure if you'll distribute those to the rest of the panel or how that works either, but they're pretty straightforward, just informing them, of the panel, its work, our vacancies, and how they can help us with filling them.
Which seats?
I don't know off the top of my head. Jeff did send me the list, so.
I don't have it with me.
I'm going to say it's.
I know Ms. Montgomery is serving on a long expired term. I know that Mr. McWhite had previously told me that he would not be re-upping for a second term and would be leaving as soon as he could be replaced. We have not seen Ms. Chrisman in a number of meetings.
And Daniel, are you on an expired term as well?
I think, yeah, okay. You're on an expired term as well.
But I'm a happy squatter.
And you are on your second term. End of your second, past the end of your second term, right?
Yeah. Question for just in the future meeting, so that way we don't continually like find ourselves in a place where we don't have a quorum. Can we add an item on the agenda to declare Ms. Christman's seat and Mr. McWhite's seat vacant, so that way we don't kind of find ourselves in a situation where we need five of us present in order for us to do any business? Because the mayor or city council may or may not decide to actually make the appointments, and I don't want us to kind of like get a situation where we're at a standstill.
I have thought of that, and I'd be in favor of putting that on the agenda. Is there a second? I'm not sure if that's something you need to formally vote on, or
I'll just put it on the agenda for next time.
Sure. Yeah, because in looking at the list, it looks like Daniel and Ingrid are both on expired terms. And then we have four other vacancies. So essentially it's myself, Austin, and Mr. Pringle. So, hopefully there's interest from the community. I know that we've had a couple public members come that have, expressed interest. So there's really only so much we can do, obviously. So hopefully.
Which one of those, this is where I shamelessly talk about myself for a second. Jeff, if I know that I'm eligible to be reappointed to the seat that I'm in because I'm, thank you, two terms in, but could a person theoretically be appointed to another seat?
No, because these aren't discrete seats representing a geographic area or an area of expertise, or it's a member on the body. And so you've been on the body for more than two terms.
Got it. Okay.
And the origin of that membership doesn't matter, whether it be.
Yay. Okay. My time may be up soon. Okay. That answered my question.
Thank you. And Daniel, there, as you know, there are public comments, so we're hoping once you are gone, you still participate.
You don't want to let me to go.
is there any other old business from the panel? If not, we can move on to new business. I'm not sure, Daniel, or any other panel memberships, or Mr. Phillips, if there's any new business to bring before the panel.
Has there, I think last year when we were talking about goals that we wanted to achieve for this year, and I think it was when we were meeting at the election center, at some point, should we go back and like look at those items and see if we wanted to take them up? Because I know there were some issues that I think Mr. Pringle had and some of us wanted us to take official stands on or do some work on, but I don't think we really had the time to be able to kind of fully flesh them out.
Yeah, I'm happy to revisit those and get them on a future meeting agenda. And Jeff, I'm sure I can get with you on that. And I recall one of them was a letter to council supporting our, showing our support for increased funding for some of the VBM machines, or the express vote, excuse me. And I know that funding was secured. So there may be a few items that are moot, but I think that's a great idea to revisit that to see, what we can keep moving here. So good idea, Daniel, and I'll be sure to get with Jeff on that, on getting on the agenda for April's meeting. If there's no other new business, public comment is our next item on the agenda. I know we have two members here present. I'm not sure if either of you would like to offer comment to the panel or just observing. Yeah, I believe so. If you want to just come to the podium and introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Joy Burgess. I'm a retired citizen of Jacksonville, very interested in what you're doing. But you were talking about extended, several of you are on extended time here. I was just reading your minutes, and I was wondering, if that's the case, why is it that in the minute it says Ms. Philman said she's had an application for membership on the EAP on file with the mayor and city council for over 3 years and still has not been appointed? I happen to know of her, and she's one of our outstanding citizens. So
and she has been here for a lot of our meetings, and I believe that was the last meeting she conveyed that.
Right.
We don't have control over who's appointed. It's the mayor and the president of the city council that makes the appointments.
Supervisor.
And supervisor of elections. So there are three from each body. So the mayor makes three appointments, the city council president makes three appointments, and the supervisor of elections makes three appointments. So we don't act on those appointments. If it was my choice, I would, probably would have filled the seat by now. But the decision whether or not to fill those vacancies or to leave the seats vacant is out of our hands. So unfortunately, until they act, there's really nothing that we can do as far as a body is concerned, other than remind them. And it is frustrating because obviously this is a very important body. I know that I can say from personal experience, I have applied to two other boards recently with the city. I've received no acknowledgement, response, or anything from anyone. So I'm not sure what the reasoning is. There could be a number of reasons that I can think of. But I will say to you that, as chair, my goal is to have this be a full committee. I won't be chair for much longer, but it has been, in my experience, I've been a member since 2016 or 2017. I served two partial terms, and now I'm on a full term, and it has always been a full body. It's usually a very robust discussion, and it is a little unfortunate that these seats aren't full, but I can say it's not because of anything that we're not doing.
And I'm in no way accusing you, but I have to be honest with you. As a citizen, you're telling me the leadership of this community is not moving on something as simple as appointing people that want to be active in this process. We have a body of people in our community that have lost their motivation to vote. We're fighting for our right as citizens to be a part of this country and democracy and all of that. But yes, still, and I'm not blaming this body because you're here. What can we do as citizens to shake up this system that's supposed to be working for us? We're losing our citizens don't want to vote. This is a problem. So as a citizen, I'm here because I wanted to find out more. What can I do to help our leadership understand this is kind of a life or death situation for a lot of us that are fighting for stuff.
Sure.
So what can we do to help out?
Obviously, I think, and please feel free if anyone else has ideas. I don't mean to, hog the mic here, but you can act as an advocate, for us and for yourself as well by getting in touch with them in person. I know that phone numbers, email addresses, things of that nature are public record. I don't think there's anything we can force them to do to fill these seats. It may be oversight. It may be a strategy to keep boards and commissions half full. I can't really say what the motivations are. I think a well-informed citizenry, particularly as it pertains to elections, is extremely important, like you said. I think we're doing everything within our power. It's just we get to a point where, we can't do anything else, and I think we're kind of at that point.
Yeah, to put into further context, because, Austin, you're a council president appointee, or you are SOE or mayor?
Mayor.
Okay. With the exception of Austin, Ingrid, you're appointee of Alvin Brown, right? So she's been overextended on her term for, 5-6 years plus at this point? I think with a changing government, it presents an opportunity for whoever becomes the next mayor and the new council president to exercise them. A lot of times I've seen my experience in other past boards, because I'm on two, the new council president will take a second to kind of get their bearings and then make a select appointments for certain things. And then after a certain point, you just see them stop. And then people are kind of waiting around for the next council president to come up a year from now to make their appointments. I'm using council president as a example because that's the one position of the three that continually changes
right. Every
year. So that's usually the one that you see the most appointments come out of. But outside of the application that gets sent from the individual members, that office holder has a discretion to make the appointment or they don't. So I think directly contacting them, going to a council meeting and saying it into public comment. What better way to get someone's attention by saying that they're not making their appointees on the record in front of their colleagues, or contacting Supervisor Hogan or Supervisor-elect Holland as well, because I anticipate, and Robert, you correct me if I'm wrong, that he probably will have an interest in making sure that his appointees are on this panel, because he's always expressed a strong level of support for this panel when he was SOE in the past. But Robert, you tell me if I'm wrong in that assertion.
No, you're correct. You're correct. As a matter of fact, when Mr. Holland was the SOE, he was actually the one who filled my role as far as attending every meeting and giving the updates. So,
all right.
So those are some suggestions that could.
And I will.
And I take them. I value them, and I want to thank you for your service. But this has got to stop. Mm-hmm. I'm like.
And there's also a mayoral election, getting in touch with those campaigns, maybe to put the idea like, hey, these have been lingering. Someone run with it. Maybe that's something that you can stump the constituents for, to say, if I'm elected, I will fill the seats that aren't being filled. I mean, that would be another idea to have John reach out to the direct campaigns. And
that's a good idea.
Yeah. Because they're going to have to, whoever becomes mayor, will have to set up transition teams between May 16th and July 1st to fill up the new government. And I imagine that's a great opportunity for constituents to really push out available opportunities for appointments during that time, too.
Well, thank you for your service. And I want to thank Mr. Phillips, who just did an extraordinary job doing a Zoom workshop for our group and then updated us on all this voting stuff. So thank you so much for what you do.
And I will add just briefly while you were speaking, unfortunately this is not a problem that's unique to our panel. On the City of Jacksonville's appointment opportunities website, there are at least 20 different vacancies across so there's 67 total boards, and there's at least 20 vacancies across those boards, various boards on the city's website currently. So, again, unfortunately, it's not unique to our panel. It seems to be a, kind of government-wide issue with all these different advisory panels we have. Like I said previously, we are submitting formal letters from our panel to the council president and the mayor with hopes that they will use their power to make these appointments. And if not, we'll do it to the next government and until we get a full board. So we do need citizens like you to advocate for us and advocate for these bodies, because they are a very important part of our democracy and our, a lot of what happens at the local level affects us the most. So I think, in my opinion, involvement at the local level is arguably more important than anything in the political process. So it is unfortunate, and hopefully by April's meeting, we'll have some progress on that. So, Ms. Montgomery, yes.
There was someone whose responsibility it was to oversee all the boards and commissions. What happened to that person, or is that position, is that someone that we would work with to make this happen?
I believe the mayor has a director of or a liaison between the boards. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yes. It was Johnny Gaffney.
Okay.
I don't know if he's with the mayor's office any longer. But as we get to the end of a mayoral term, people begin filtering out, moving on to other jobs. So they get kind of short-staffed for the last few months of a term.
Is there a director, still a director of appointments?
There is. It's changed two or three times over the last few years. But, yeah, they do have a person in charge of that.
That's what I thought.
One question out of curiosity, are there of the 60s. I didn't realize there were 67, by the way. It's a lot. Of this, do you know of the 67 if there are any boards that are empowered to nominate, make their own appointments at all?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Although frequently the way boards get filled is that the people who serve on them and are termed out know of other people, folks who come as members of the public to sit in and watch what happens, and they make recommendations to, if they're a council president appointee, for example, they may say, well, I've done my 8 years, but I know a guy who would be very good. You ought to look at him. And so it's kind of, the board makes recommendations for like-minded people who might be interested in filling those seats, rather than leaving it to the president of the council or the mayor to just find somebody who has ever heard of the EAP or the True Commission and would have any interest in them.
Is that something you think we should do?
I'd be happy to
spit on ideas.
Good idea.
I heard about this through Melissa Nelson. Just sent out an email through our office, and that's how maybe I'll approach and just ask if that can happen again, send one out, because I know there's a lot of people that want to be involved, they just don't know where to start. So I think that's definitely part of it. But
yeah,
I saw an email one day, clicked on it, and
yeah,
sounded like something I wanted to do.
So mine was completely random. I wasn't, it was in 2015, 16. My job at the time wanted us, as part of our goals, to volunteer. And I went to the website and I saw opening on this board and I applied. And then a couple months went by, and then I got a letter in the mail saying, you've been appointed. Do you accept? And I said, I accept. And then I showed up to a rules meeting, and then I was on the board. So it was very unceremonious in the way that it kind of happened. But then again, I hear other people's stories about how they've applied and they hear nothing, and I can't quite explain to them as to why I was selected and they weren't. But it's an odd duck.
And Jeff, I was wondering if maybe you might be able to provide some insight as to, because I know at least for city council appointments, the application is turned into your office directly, correct? Then where does it go from there? How does that, you know?
The way it works is that people make application, they download the form from the website, they fill it in, they mail it in, it comes into our office. When the background check is done and we have the resume and everything, monthly, one of my staff members gives the council president a list of all of the boards and commissions to which they have appointments that have vacancies, and the names of people who have applied that we have applications on file who've indicated an interest.
So someone in these offices is getting a regular update on these vacancies and pending applications.
We update the council president monthly on the vacancies that they have to fill.
And then once you do that, it's out of your hands completely.
It's up to them what to do with it.
And if they choose to, by their grace, decide to choose someone on that list, then what's the process that happens after that?
Then once they select someone, then we draft a resolution for their appointment that gets introduced into city council. The Legislative Services Division sends a letter to the applicant that says your appointment resolution has been filed and here's when to come to the Rules Committee for your appearance. And then after rules, they recommend approval, and council does it the next week.
And I even remember during my initial appointment, I was asked to come to the council members' offices to meet with a few of them before rules. So
that's a relatively new thing within the last few years, that the Rules Committee, the letter that you get that tells you when to come to the full committee, gives the name and phone numbers and emails of all the Rules Committee members and requests that you contact them in advance, and if they want to talk to you personally, to set up an appointment and come see them personally before you go to rules.
Even after, too. I know, depending on who the council president is, not to expurge any of them, I will say when I was chair of this this board, or chair of TRU, Schellenberg, when he was rules chair, and Missouri, when he was council president, were interested in meeting sometimes with committee chairs or commission chairs to kind of see what they were doing with their boards or commissions, or if they could help in any way. But depending on who the council president is, they can either take a very hands-on approach or very offhand approach.
From the mayor's side, I mean, I think Carlo Fossi reached out to me within a week or so of my application, and then it was coffee with him, and then it was meeting with, I can't remember who it was, who the gal was that was the liaison, and then it was meeting with the rules, and then going to the actual, so that, I mean, my process was pretty quick, so I don't know if it checked out now that it's terms up, but
And then just a final point on that, Jeff, there's nothing we can do to compel them to take up an application, correct? I know we are a purely advisory body, but I had to ask.
Well, if you wanted to show up at a council meeting at the doing public comment and say so, I would do it. But the option is there.
Okay, next item, just two final items. Our next meeting is April 19th, 2023. I encourage everyone to come in person. So we can take some votes and hopefully get some new officers on the panel. Additionally, just in closing, if folks know of anyone who may be interested in serving on the panel, just let them know, the submit an application, and that we are working to fill these seats. So hopefully that's something that we can remedy soon. And then finally, as far as those letters go, I'll make sure Jeff gets them to everyone. And if there's any edits I can make, I'm happy to do so, or suggestions. And I will now adjourn at 4:09 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.